This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
Frequency.
And thank you all for tuning in. Join the best insurance investigator around, Johnny Dollar, as he investigates fraudsters, kidnappers, thieves, and murderers on a daily basis. Today's episode, the 1949 to 1962 series. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. It's pretty rare to find a radio series that went into the 60s. So needless to say, this series was very popular. Almost 1,000 episodes. And if you enjoy the series, please check out volumes 1, 2, and 3 in the archives. And also be sure to let me know through the comments on Spotify or through all the show links in the description. And while you're there, if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to follow, review, and rate. All that really helps out the show. All that really helps out the podcast. And with all that, please enjoy the show.
I hope St. Peter's listening. This report may one day help qualify me for that pass through the pearly gates. This case almost rushed me up there. This is another adventure of America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator, Johnny Dollar. At insurance investigation, Johnny Dollar is just an expert. At making out his expense account, he is an absolute genius. Expense account submitted by special investigator, Johnny Dollar. To Special Investigator Johnny Dollar. This one's on the house. I wouldn't even bother itemizing it, except that the whole thing is probably tax deductible. The following is an accounting of my expenditures during my investigation of Bonnie Goodwin. Or, she was under 21, but that didn't mean she was involved with nothing but minor vices. Or, murder ain't minor. Expense account, item 1. $12.40. Scotch whiskey and cigars consumed at surprise party arranged for me by one Mr. King of Hearts at my apartment in Hartford, Connecticut at 1:25 in the morning. Well, who are you? And which one of us is in the wrong apartment?
Neither one of us. I'm King Hearts. I came down from New York to see you. I hope you don't mind my helping myself to a cigar while I was waiting.
Well, no, not at all. I'd even join you in a drink of my scotch, only I don't think I could squeeze it out of the cork.
I'll send you a case.
Send listening. Me a copy of your passkey while you're at it. Maybe I can drop in on you sometime. Much. This verges on the illegal.
Let's not waste time trying to scare each other, huh? Let's talk business.
What is your business?
Well, that verges on the legal. That's why I need you. In your record, you're well enough known to do me some good. In mine, I'm too well known to do it myself.
Do what?
Find a girl for me.
Oh, now, wait a minute. I'm in the insurance business.
So's the girl. She's a beneficiary of my insurance policy. This is a very unusual case. I was a sucker. The way that policy is written, I need her signature to do what I want to do.
changed the beneficiary?
Yeah. I'm all set to marry an honest dame. She loves me.
Well, I'll tell you, Mr. Hart. I make it a habit to work for big insurance companies, not individuals. Sorry.
How come?
I can't look up your credit rating in Dun & Bradstreet.
Look it up in this wallet. Go ahead. Don't be bashful.
Yeah, well, you're solvent. Corners of these bills look like a tally on a baseball scoreboard. One run in the first and then three goose eggs.
Help yourself.
Not so fast. Your money may be okay, but about your story.
What about it?
Look, there's any number of good licensed private detectives that you could have gone to. Philip Marlowe, Sam Spade, and Richard Diamond. And he would not only have solved your case, he would also sing you a song. Why did you come to me?
I thought you had me straight. I don't like detectives. I'm allergic to coppers, pro or semi-pro, so's the girl. Look, Dollar, all you have to do is find the girl, get a signature on the form, and bring it back. Is that so tough?
Well, my wisdom tooth still finds it a little tough to chew. I'd like to see the policy.
Sure, I brought it with me. Here you are.
Wow, this is a motive-sized policy. $100,000. How'd you ever get it, Mr. Hart?
When I took it out, I was a haberdasher.
Uh-huh. Specializing, no doubt, in bulletproof vests styled by Hart, Schaffner, and U.S. Steel. Oh, yes. Beneficiary, Bonnie Goodwin.
That's her.
Well, before I can start looking, I should know where she stopped being around.
Chicago. You'll find that and a lot of other stuff about her stapled to the back of the policy.
My, you're the very model of efficiency.
I should be. As a model prisoner, I ran the accounting department at Leavenworth for 5 years.
Thanks for not being bashful about your past. Makes it easy for me not to be bashful about asking you for something.
What's that?
My assignment in writing. I just don't want anybody to get the wrong idea about my association with you.
That's okay.
All right. If you'll pay for the ticket, I guess I'm ready to take the ride.
How much?
A $3,000 retainer, and I'll bill you for my expenses.
It's a deal. And don't hesitate to travel first class.
Don't worry, Mr. Hart. Don't worry. Expense account, item 2, $55.32. Plane fare, Hartford to Chicago. Expense account, item 3, $4. Cab fare from airport to downtown. It takes about half as long to get from the Chicago airport to downtown as it does from Hartford to Chicago airport. I checked into the ambassador where I intended to live, first class. And expense account, item 4, $1.20. Cab fare to the Muriel Arms, a female hostelry where I didn't expect to live, but which was Bonnie Goodwin's last known address. Even at noon, it looked like a good place to start an investigation by either the police, the fire, or the sanitation department.
Hello, Muriel Arms. Call back after 2:30, please.
Pardon me.
Muriel Arms. No, she isn't. She'll be back in 5 days.
Hey!
Yes, sir.
Where can I find the room clerk?
That's me.
Oh, good. I'm looking for a girl who used to live here. Her name's Goodwin. You remember?
Oh, the little princess. Yeah, I remember. I'm trying to forget her.
Well, I'm trying to find her. You know where she went from here?
No, and I don't care. One of the girls said you saw her hanging around Emma's place. That's over on Rush Street. You'll hear it before you see it. I'm sorry, missy. That's all I got time for. These calls are piling up. But hello, Muriel Arms.
Say, bartender.
Well, let's see.
Where can I find Emma?
I'm Emma. And no jokes. What do you want?
I'm looking for a girl named Bonnie Goodwin.
She ain't around. You told her she wasn't wanted around here.
Well, that's your business. My business is to find her.
Who are you? From the law?
Well, from the law of averages, the insurance business.
If you're selling insurance, you're going the right way. She needs some. Why don't you try to flag her apartment?
Not only did the Flagler apartments fail to produce Bonnie Goodwin, but so did about 18 other wayward way stations scattered from the loop to the far north side. She was an easy girl to follow, but a hard girl to find.
One of the things I learned along the trail was that Bonnie's Heart was apparently no express train. It made a lot of local stops. And one of the things I was reminded of during a tedious search was a philosophy passed along to me by, at a tender age, by an old Pinkerton operator. He said, being a detective is 90% legwork. It's like being a mailman with no address on the letters. Bank account, item 5. 1495, shoe leather. My brogans and my nerve ends were worn to a frazzle by 8 o'clock that night when I went sniffing up my latest lead, which took me to the desk of a tasty little flea bag on Dearborn. Oh, it felt like you were picking up the 7-year itch just walking into the lobby.
Hiya, Sonny. Are you looking for somebody?
Yeah. And if I don't find her soon, I think I'll just sit still and let her find me. One of your guests, Bonnie Goodwin. You know her?
As much as I know any of my guests.
Is she still here?
No.
Well, do you know where she is?
No, all I know is she moved out of here. Because I asked her to this morning.
Tell me, what makes this kid so popular?
She makes me nervous. I don't like the people she brings around.
You mean me, Grandma? Or do you mean you don't like her choice of friends?
I didn't say they were friends. No, I'm through talking. Beat it.
Now, wait a minute. I've got...
Now, listen, little boy. I'm awful good at not talking when I don't feel like it. And right now, I don't. Save yourself some time and get out of here.
Okay. Now I know what was wrong with that little Red Riding Hood story. Grandma was the wolf. Boo! Oh, nuts.
Hey, mister.
Hmm?
Hey. What? I think I want to talk to you.
Go away. Don't bother me.
You were asking about Bonnie, weren't you? I'm a friend of hers.
Oh? Well, where can we talk?
Well, we better get away from this lobby window. Come on.
Where are you headed? Out of town?
Huh? Oh, the suitcase?
Mm-hmm.
No, I just came back for the last of our things. Bonnie and I took an apartment today.
Well, your roommate, huh?
Yeah. What do you want with her?
Wait a minute. Can you think of any good reason why two men should be following you?
Where?
Don't turn around. Where can I meet you?
You're not going to leave me.
Just long enough to get where we're going. Where's a good place?
The Hangover House on North Clark.
Who do I ask for when I get there? What's your name?
Jamie Page. Why can't I go with you?
I want to find out who's being followed, you or me. Now, there's a hack stand. You take the first cab,
yeah.
I'll take the second. Okay. They'll undoubtedly take the third, and then we'll know.
What did you find out?
Oh, nothing, Janie. Those guys pitched me the biggest curve since Lefty Grove.
What does that mean?
Well, we took two cabs, so they took two cabs. One of them followed me, so it figures one of them followed you. Any idea why?
Now, wait a minute, mister. First, I got to get you straight. I just picked you up on a hunch because you don't look like the other ones. Who are you, and what do you want with Bonnie?
My name is Johnny Dollar. My business? Insurance.
Insurance? Who's dead? King Hart?
Did I hear a hopeful note in your voice, Janie?
Well, is he?
Like in my business, I've learned never to give a definite answer to that question. But, as far as I know, he's still alive. He was when I saw him yesterday. He hired me to find Bonnie because he wants to get her name off his life insurance policy. It's as simple as that.
That skunk. After what he put her through.
You can file this question under N for none of my business, but just what did he put her through?
He built her way up and then he dragged her way down. And she's still too good for him, for anybody who works for him. Something out of here.
Maybe I told you too much about my business.
Just enough. You're trying to help King Hart take away the only thing he left her. If I have my way, she'll never sign away the money from that insurance policy. Good night.
This was the first chance I'd had all day to make anything happen. With a little luck, Janie Page was going to finally bird dog me straight to the little chick who had flown so many coops, thus making herself so hard to find. As she started down the 60-foot length of the long, narrow bar toward the back door, I saw two familiar hulks launch out of their chairs up near the front door. They were after her, and too big for me, our opponents from that game of taxi tag. So I set about stopping them. I took advantage of the narrow room, the big crowd, and a little bitty drunk. I hated to do it, but I had to turn the bottle baby into a bottleneck. I hope he was too numb to care.
Hey, lay off the little guy.
Hey, well, you're not in his own business. I saw
guys like you.
Come on, let me go here. Come on,
get out.
out of our way. We're coming.
If you like mob scenes, it was a great go-round, but it lasted. But it only lasted 40 seconds. And then we got upstaged by some off-scene action out in the back alley. The crowd went out to look. I didn't. Somehow I knew. My live lead had turned into a dead one. And a morning news flash over my hotel room radio read the funeral services over what little remained of my host.
Guns roared on Chicago's north side again late last night when six slugs tore the life out of a 105-pound brunette in an alley shooting reminiscent of the early 30s. Listed at the city morgue as dead on arrival, the body was identified as that of 19-year-old Bonnie Goodwin, ex-girlfriend of the notorious hoodlum King Hart.
In just a moment, we'll return to the second act of Johnny Dollar. But first, a burly sea captain, a fashion designer, a neurotic young gun collector, and a wealthy socialite. One of them very much dead. These are the elements Police Commissioner Bill Grant faces in his adventure on Call the Police tonight. Join Bill Grant for the thrills of the chase as he sets out to solve the case of the hero's funeral. And then take in Sam Spade's latest two-fisted adventure, well spiced with wisecrack. Bill Grant of Call the Police and Sam Spade, like Johnny Dollar, are regular Sunday visitors on most of these same CBS stations. Now, with our star, Charles Russell, we return to the second act of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar.
An alley shooting reminiscent of the early 30s. Listed as dead on arrival at the city morgue, the body was identified as that of 19-year-old Bonnie Goodwin, ex-girlfriend of the notorious hoodlum King Hart. And now for yesterday's baseball scores in the National...
Spencer Cal, item 6, 22:50. Replacement of one hotel room radio, which I punched in the dial. After it told me that the girl I'd been using as a bird dog the night before was really the bird that I had spent an hour with Bonnie Goodwin, looking for Bonnie Goodwin. I agree, that isn't the proper way to turn off a radio, but the fight up to that time had been one-sided. I had to throw one punch, even if the fight was all over. But then the bell rang, calling me out of my corner for another round. The bell on my telephone. Hello.
Hello, Dollar.
Yeah?
This is King Hart. I just got in town. I'm at the airport.
Well, 9 a.m. News travels fast. We got private lines to the major morgues of the country?
A friend of mine phoned me last night, Joe Emma. What the devil happened, Dollar?
I'm not sure, Hart. It could be that you used me for a leadoff man on a relay team. You hire me to find the girl, then hire some gunmen to follow me. And when I find her, boom.
Now, wait a minute, Dollar.
From now on, it looks like you don't have to worry about who's going to collect on your insurance. Do you, by any chance, collect on hers?
That's out of my line these days. And flying 800 miles just to be at the scene of the crime has never been one of my habits.
I'm not so sure you just flew in, but I'm dead sure that I'm not on your payroll any longer.
Dollar, listen to me.
You listen. I didn't follow through last night because I didn't want to be picked up as a material witness. But first, I'm going out to prove a few things that'll keep me from being picked up, and then I'm going to make my report to the police.
Aren't you jumping the gun, Dollar?
You know more about guns than I do, but I learned a lot about Bonnie Goodwin while I was tracking you down yesterday. And one thing I learned, I like her kind better than I do yours. There wasn't anybody around to help her last night when she needed it. But I'll bet she had plenty of help making her first big mistake. Probably from you. Any morgue is a masterpiece of refrigeration. Just thinking of one can give me a real cold chill. When I walk into one, I feel an icicle forming on each separate vertebrae in my spine. And when I start walking out of one, I feel the ice begin to melt.
You do yourself any good?
Maybe. Thanks for letting me go through the things. Here, buy yourself a cigar.
Oh, this I'll buy a box. It's a big tip.
It should be. You've been a big help. I'd gone to the morgue to find an address. And I'd found it. In the suitcase, monogrammed BG for Bonnie Goodwin. I also found that the body had been identified by her roommate.
want?
I was a friend of Bonnie Goodman's. I want to talk to you about her.
You're no friend of hers. I knew them all. Leave me alone. There's nothing to talk about. She's dead, isn't she?
Yeah. And I have a pretty personal interest in it.
Why?
I was with her just before she walked into the alley. And you might be interested to know that she was using your name.
How do you know? You don't know my name.
It's Janie Page. I see you're packing.
I might be unpacking.
When you pack, you fold things on the bed. When you unpack, you put them on hangers as you take them out of the bag. Now, you know where you're going?
You better close the door. Well?
I don't have to be a quiz kid to figure out that you're leaving because you're scared. You're probably running away from the same thing Bonnie didn't have a chance to run away from. I'd like to find out what it is.
Bonnie didn't have any big brothers looking out for her. What's your angle?
I'll break it down for you. About 10% of my interest is keeping myself from being implicated in what happened last night. The other 90% might get me a merit badge in a Boy Scout troop. I'm just trying to do my good deed for the day. I'd like to see somebody get paid off. Who's your candidate? King Hart?
He's one of the people she was afraid of.
For a little girl, she had a lot of people after her. Did she double-cross too much, talk too much, or just know too much?
She knew too much.
About what kind of things?
The kind of things smart people stay away from.
Wouldn't she?
She couldn't. For a girl, being mixed up with the wrong people is an incurable disease. She just waited out.
Mm-hmm. I see what you mean. You can't throw a bad reputation into reverse. If you can stand a compliment, you strike me as being a gal who might have a better chance than most of busting out of this unsmart set.
I can't figure you out. What do you really want from me? What are you doing here? Who are you working for?
I always feel sorry for you kids, particularly the nicer ones. Oh, who knows? Maybe I'm just being selfish. Maybe this is a good chance for me to show off in front of heaven. I'd like to revise those percentages I gave you. From now on, let's call it 10% me, 10% Boy Scout, and 80% you. Well, now that I've cut you in for most of the profits, can I get some help?
I haven't got much to give you, but I think it was King Hart.
Why? Is that insurance policy?
That'd be one good reason.
And the others?
She brushed him. He wanted to marry her, but she brushed him. He was crazy jealous.
King Hart claims he was in New York at the time of the shooting. If he can prove it, he's clear. But assuming that he did have some gun work to do in Chicago, who would he hire to do it? A guy named Joe Emma, by any chance?
Joe Emma? He'd be more interested in shooting King Hart. They split up over Bonnie Goodwin. Emma wouldn't leave her alone till after Hart got out of town.
Is that enough reason for him to kill her?
I don't know. I don't know how jealous he gets.
There's only one other thing I'd like to know.
What?
How I'm going to help you. I want to do something more than just help you pack. Hey, how does this sound? You and Bonnie are about the same type, same build, same hair. Close enough to confuse anybody in a dark alley.
Hey, what have you got going?
If I could get a little story published on the first page of the evening paper to the effect that the body in the morgue, originally identified as Bonnie Goodwin, is not Bonnie Goodwin, that it was identified in error and actually is you, Janie Page, I think we can sweat Bonnie's killer out into the open, trying to finish the job.
Hey, what are you trying to do to me? I'll get killed.
No, you won't, because you won't be waiting here for them. I will. Expense account, item 7, 5 cents. Phone call to an old newspaper friend. Expense account, item 8, another nickel, one evening newspaper. Which proved to me the power of having old friends, and which I hope would prove to me the power of the press. The story, including the girl's address, was right above the weather report. And it looked like a fair night for Chicago, but a stormy night for me. I learned early in my career that when you're waiting in an apartment for the arrival of killers, don't just wait. I opened a window onto the street, made myself a pot of coffee, some sandwiches, sat down in an easy chair facing a door near the telephone, and had a picnic. For dessert, I had a sweet, rich idea which made me feel much better. When a little after 10, I heard a car pull up outside. When I heard footsteps coming up the hall 20 seconds later, I picked the telephone out of its cradle, dialed 1 to get rid of the telltale tone of a line not in use. Come on in. It's unlocked. King Hart. Repeat, King Hart.
What are you up to, Dollar?
I'll tell you what I'm up to. At the other end of this phone line is a police lieutenant listening. He knows that you're here with me, so don't get rough.
I don't care who's listening. Where is she?
Who?
You know who, Bonnie. That body down to Morgan's and her.
I wish I had this much luck fishing. People seem to bite easier. I suppose you're here because you missed her the first time.
Don't be stupid. I'm trying to save her life. Where is she?
She's sitting next to the lieutenant who's listening on his telephone.
I don't believe it.
Come on. You can talk to her.
Okay. But you better be right.
Here, take the phone. Right over the head. Oh! I dragged Mr. King Hart to the living room closet, went back to the phone and really called the police to tell them that I had their man. I still had the phone in my hand when the apartment door opened, framing two masses of manhood, one of whom I knew. So this time, just to play safe, I said into the live phone, Joe Emma and help her.
Shut that door, Rich.
Yeah.
Well, if it ain't our insurance sale, who are you talking to with that telephone?
The police. I just gave him your name.
Hang it up.
Okay.
Pretty smart trick, I suppose. But I got news for you. What you just did ain't even evidence. But you ain't gonna be around to corroborate it. And we ain't gonna be here when the cops get here. Now, where is she?
If you're looking for Bonnie Goodwin, your search has narrowed down. You've got the whole rest of the world to look because she ain't here.
You're too smart. Now, where is she?
Hey, Emma. She's hiding in that closet there. The knob just moved.
Oh? Uh-huh. So that's where you got it. Okay, Angie, stay on this guy. I'll take care of Bonnie. On out, sweetheart.
I'm coming, Joe! Where are you?
Joe Emma had expected the pleasure of kicking a girl around, but instead found himself being belted around by a man. Angie's right hand dove for his armpit and not distract himself. Just as he snapped another shot at King Hart, I sent a flying tackle at him.
Oh! Now you missed again, Angie, and it's over you. Now!
Congratulations, King. That's a delightful right hand you throw.
Never mind that. Where's Bonnie?
She's dead, Hart. I planted that newspaper story that she's still alive.
I didn't read any newspaper story. I just came from the city morgue. That babe they got isn't Bonnie Goodwin. I never saw her before.
Isn't Bonnie? Well, then why did... Oh. Emma kills her roommate in the dark alley by mistake. So Bonnie switches identities to make herself officially dead so she can live longer.
Where is she? I want her back.
I thought all you wanted was to get her name off that insurance policy.
That isn't true. But if I wanted an insurance investigator to find her, what else could I tell you so you take the case? I want her back.
She'll have to make up her own mind about that. For you, I'm not playing Cupid. I'll tell you what I'll do. You tell me all the sweet, pretty things you want to say, and I'll repeat them to her. Expense account, item 9, $28.40. Dinner, while repeating all the sweet, pretty things King Hart had wanted to say to Bonnie Goodwin. And telling her all the unsweet, unpretty things I felt about his kind of guy.
Don't worry, Johnny. I'm not going to him or anybody like him.
Well, where are you going?
Back to my hometown, I guess.
Your hometown didn't seem to do a very good job of giving you a start the first time. How far from Chicago is it?
It's only about 28 miles north of here.
Here. Here's an envelope. But what's in it? You'd better buy yourself a ticket that'll take you about $3,000 worth west of here.
Oh, Johnny, I... Thank you.
Expense account, item 10, 20 cents. Two beers, one for me and one for King Hart. I told him that his money was taking Bonnie on a little trip back to happiness. And he told me that if I ever expected to collect any expense money from him, I knew where I could go. Expense account total, $163.55. You'll notice that this is very low, but remember, I'm paying this one myself. Yours, very truly, Johnny Dollar. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, directed today by Gordon T. Hughes, stars Charles Russell, with script by Paul Dudley and Gil Dowd. Featured in the cast were George Ellis, Paul Dubov, Martha Wentworth, Lou Krugman, Gene Bates, and Larry Dobkin. The special music is written and conducted by Leif Stevens. Be sure to be with us at the same time next week when another unusual expense account is handed in by yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Cheek to cheek, I'm in the mood for love. Isn't it a lovely day? That's what you think. Nope, that isn't just a mixed-up sentence. That's just for the top hits you'll hear on your hit parade on parade tonight. Top hits from 1935. Without a word of warning, I'm on a seesaw. Yes, more hits dressed up in bright new 1949 arrangements and played and sung by the nation's top vocalists and musicians. Be sure to hear your hit parade on parade this evening in Jack Benny's time on all of these same CBS stations. This is Roy Rowan. Your hit parade on parade follows immediately. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Mrs. Perkins won the prize, but I got in the biggest pickle at the county fair.
This is another in the adventures of America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator, Johnny Dollar. At insurance investigation, Johnny Dollar is only an expert. At making out his expense account, he is an absolute genius.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar. To Home Office, Corinthian Liability and Bonding Company, Terminal Building, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of my expenditures during my assignment as bodyguard to Grand Blue Ribbon Champion, Spotted Poland China Hog, Rosie Baron of Iowa. Or how you cast my pearls of wisdom before swine. Or out of the fire, into the frying pan. Expense account, item one. $76.80. Train and bus fare, Hartford, to the town of Carver, county seat of Carver County, Iowa. Expense account, item two. $2.50. One Coke, three handkerchiefs, a bottle of salt tablets, and sunglasses, with which to combat the Corn Belt heat. Item three, $6. Jitney ride to the Carver County Fairgrounds. Undoubtedly named that because the band I found in the midst of playing its afternoon concert was only fair. Hey, friend.
How's that?
I'm looking for a pig named Rosie Baron of Iowa. Tell me where I'll find his cage.
Cage? They don't keep Rollo in no cage.
Rollo? Who's he?
Well, that's short for Rosie Baron of Iowa.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Any fool would know that.
Uh-huh.
Can you tell me where he is?
See that building over there, the livestock building?
Yeah.
You'll find Rolla in the swine wing.
Swine wing?
Uh-huh.
Well, that conjures up a dainty picture. A flying pig.
Afraid Rolla won't ever do much flying. Weighs 980.
Oh, well, thanks a lot.
Old neighbor.
Yeah?
Why don't you try slipping out of that there coat? You won't find it near as sweaty.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Hiram. Oh, he didn't even wait to be my best friend.
Hey! Wait, I'll come with you, neighbor.
It was 96 in the shade, but things were getting hotter. Jackson screamed from the livestock building, but the only thing that was bringing on the run was Hiram on my heels.
Hey, what do you fool that one?
First, I ran into a stranger just outside the entrance.
Get out of the way. Let me out of here. There's a wound loose in there.
Then I ran into the door.
Somebody do something. Don't just stand there. Where's the sheriff?
Hey, Hiram, what happened?
Well, didn't you see? Didn't you hear? That there woman's Mrs. Stewart. Somebody must have stole her diamond boot.
Oh, good. I was afraid somebody might have put the snatch on Rollo.
Her husband owns Rollo. They must have been taking her pictures of Mrs. Tiller in the middle of a crowd. And when they had her smiling real pretty, them flash bulbs went off, and then somebody must have reached around behind her, yanked the boots, and started shooting a gun in there.
That's a tried and true method of busting up a crowd to help make a getaway. Think anybody saw who did it?
Uh-uh, couldn't. Those flashes would have had them blind as bats for a minute. There's the sheriff.
What's his name?
That's Harry Blewett.
Harry Blewett?
Yeah.
Sounds like a slogan from the Republican campaign.
Hey, here, you.
Wait a minute, let's go. When everybody around here is trying to get my coat off. Come on, Sheriff. Loose the habit of that.
All right, now, never mind the fancy talk, young fella. I saw something pass between you and one of the thieves just outside the door.
Oh, you're out of your mind. That guy bumped into me. He came crashing out of here, and I happened to be in the way.
I'll bet you happened to be in the way. Accidentally, on purpose.
Now, that's an early American comeback. But that's the way it was. Now, look, I won't ask you for a search warrant, Sheriff. You think I got the brooch on me? Start looking.
All right, I will.
All right. Now, in that pocket, cigarettes and a lighter.
I see them.
You see? Yeah. And in that pocket, handkerchiefs and salt tablets.
Salt tablets?
Now, why don't you look in my inside coat pocket? And there you'll find my wallet and identification.
I was coming to that. Dollar. Insurance investigator, right. Hartford, Connecticut. Well, what brought you out here?
I'm a piggy sitter for the Corinthian Liability and Bonding Company. They wrote a policy for $25,000 on your friend Rollo, Rosie Barron of Iowa.
Who ever heard of taking out a $25,000 insurance policy on a hog?
I did. And right now, I wish I hadn't. Some people pay high premiums for publicity, Sheriff. And that's what the Blue Ribbon Prime Packing Company is doing in this case. Now, may I have my wallet back? I want to count my money.
Yeah, now, here.
All right. Here's your wallet.
You may think you're quite the joker, young fella, but I'm telling you right now, I'm going to keep an eye on you.
I got a better idea than that, Harry. If I were you, I'd go looking for that photographer. Yeah.
Why? What did he do?
He took the picture. And there's just a chance the thief may be in it.
Say, that gives me an idea.
Sheriff, whoever says you aren't smart makes no mistake. Rollo, the prized porker, wasn't hard to find. First, I followed a few signs. Then it was a matter of closing in on a contented series of juicy, slurping grunts that came blurping up out of a succulent mound of Louisiana yams. Rollo was all fat and a yard wide, but his table manners weren't much. He didn't look very smart, but he sure looked healthy. 980 pounds on the hoof, a fine figure of a pig. Pardon me, miss. Could you tell me who's in charge around here?
Well, just for the moment, I am.
Well, I'm trying to find a Mr. Worthington Tiller, who I take it owns this monster.
Monster? What's
the matter? Have I said something wrong?
You certainly have. And you've also said it to the wrong person. In case you don't know it, my name is Alva Anderson.
Oh, my name is Johnny Dollar. How do you do? What's all this got to do with Rollo?
Nothing. I just raised Rosie Barron of Iowa from a suckling, that's all.
Kind of got away from you, didn't it? Sorry, Miss Anderson, I apologize. And to you too, Rollo.
Sorry about the interruption, Miss Anderson. Some fool made off with my wife's diamond brooch. How's this excitement affecting Rollo? I hope he hasn't lost any weight.
Well, you took it very well, Mr. Tiller.
Oh, good, good.
This gentleman wants to see you, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, from the insurance company.
That's good.
Well, I'm glad you're here. We'll have your picture taken right away with my wife and Rollo. Oh, it'll make grand publicity for Blue Ribbon Prime Packers.
Oh, I don't mind having my picture taken. Just so long as your wife doesn't mind having people pinch your diamond brooches.
Oh, well, then, don't worry about that. It was fully insured.
Oh, that kind,
the
huh?
thing I want you to worry about is Rollo here. Mm-hmm. As president of Blue Ribbon, I paid Miss Anderson $10,000 for this magnificent swine, and I don't want anything to happen to it.
You bought him for $10,000, insured him for $25,000, and you don't want anything to happen to him?
Well, I don't mind paying those exorbitant premiums when I get back the kind of publicity this will bring in. I can see it in the papers now. America's fabulous insurance investigator, Johnny Dollar, sent from Hartford, Connecticut, to guard the life of that fabulous prize swine, Rosie Barron of Iowa.
Well, Mr. Tiller, I don't mind getting my name in the paper for a pig, just so long as it is not in the obituary column. I just couldn't stand having my tombstone read, Johnny Dollar no longer am. He gave up his life for a great big ham. My tombstone tagline was over the head of Mr. Tiller, but it went over right nicely with Alva Anderson, who paid off with a smile. I parlayed that into a conversation that helped me pass the time while guarding Rollo, the poor man's blue boy. By the time it was over, Alva knew a lot about me, and I knew a lot about pigs. You know, you have beautiful eyes, Alva.
Mr. Dollar, do you know what's really interesting about the origin of swine? Why, it's estimated that the Chinese people domesticated swine about 2900 B.C.
And not only that, but I'm sure you'd like Hartford.
And Mr. Dollar, you probably don't know this, but a pig is one of the most important food animals. It's an economical converter of grain and other feeds into body tissue, as the products of which furnish meat and fat for human consumption.
Alva, darling, I'll only be in town for a little while.
And not only that, but people who say that pigs are dirty don't know what they're talking about. Why, sanitation is essential to good health, rapid growth and development, and profitable production.
Oh, Rollo, what have you got that I haven't got? I still don't know whether Alva stuck around because of my charms or Rollo's, but she was still there at the changing of the guard when Mr. Tiller, in person, came to relieve me long enough for a trip to the dining hall. And what do you think they had for dinner? What else? Baked ham.
Oh, dinner was wonderful, Johnny.
Coming from you after eating baked ham, that sounds practically cannibalistic.
Oh, Johnny, stop. More coffee?
No, I've had it. Alva, you know, there's something I've been trying to say to you for the past 5 hours.
Yes, Johnny?
Well, it's just that, well, I want...
What? Oh, he's
a sheriff. Oh, why doesn't he blow his siren?
Well, I have to be going. It's time to get Rollo ready for the winner's parade past the grandstand. I'll just run along.
I'll just go with you.
Hey, Dollar. Huh? Dollar, I want to talk to you.
Well, I'll see you later, Johnny.
Yeah. Well, Sheriff.
Hey, you being a sort of investigator, Dollar, I knew you'd be interested in my message.
Well, you're sure interfering with mine.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, well, do you know what I did?
What?
I found that photographer, had that picture developed, and rushed it up to the state capitol.
Mm-hmm.
And they just called me. Dollar, there's a known criminal in that photo. He's got that brooch, and he's on the loose. Do you know what that means?
Yeah. It means that you shouldn't be sitting here talking to me. Who is this villain?
They say he's... Ooch over here. Then.
Yeah. What?
They say he's known as Little Rocky. Originally hailed from Arkansas. You'd know him if you saw him. He's the fella that bumped into you.
Oh.
I want you to help me look for him.
I take only one job at a time, Sheriff. Right now, I got a pig to mind. And there goes the Grand March. Boy, in case I'm interested later, how much do you pay your special deputy today?
$7. And expensive.
Sheriff Blewett, I'm afraid that blows it. Carver County pickle and pie winners were lining up to lead the Grand March by the time I got to the grandstand. Down at the tag end of the livestock echelon, there was a shiny white cab and trailer sporting the markings and mottos of the Blue Ribbon Prime Packing Company. And high upon it, perched on a platform and surrounded by a sturdy iron railing, stood that champion, the pride of the fort set, Rollo, Rosie Baron of Iowa. It was lovely. It was divine. I had a feeling that swelled my heart with pride. Here they were, products of the American home and the American soil. A fanfare of foodstuffs flowing from the horn of plenty. Just because of my association with Rollo, I felt that I was playing some small part in this gallant parade as it was started the first leg of its journey. It was inspiring. It was thrilling. It was... All of a sudden, it was downright frightening. As Rollo's chariot rolled by, I got an eyeful of its driver. It was my comrade in collision, the guy who had put the snatch on Mrs. Tiller's diamond, Little Rocky from Arkansas. I added to my treasury of thankless tasks by trying to pin a tackle on a 5-ton truck. Let's go ahead with one hand, let him roll with 1 foot, and I spout my teeth from an unexpected adversary.
Knock him loose, Rollo. He's on the running board.
Hey, what
the...
I was flat on my back. Everybody was screaming and hollering. The truck was crashing. And Rollo, Rosie Baron of Iowa, was one little piggy who wasn't staying at home.
In just a moment, the second act of Johnny Dollar. But first, taking in the action from Johnny Dollar, are you? All right, that's good, because staying with CBS is the way you'll head straight for the big return from vacation 8 days from now, Monday the 29th, of Lux Radio Theater and all the other big Monday night CBS favorites. And by staying with CBS, you'll find more action later tonight with Bill Grant of Call the Police and with Sam Spade, who'll be heard from on most of these same CBS stations. Now, with our star, Charles Russell, we return to the second act of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar.
Oh. Johnny, are you all right? Can you get up?
Oh. Well, the spirit's willing. I'm not sure about my spine.
Here, let me help.
I'm the guy who goes around telling kiddies never to hitch rides on trucks. Well, nobody can say I didn't make a dent in Iowa.
It was wonderful the way you tried. But what are you going to do now?
Right now, I don't know. The only place I can think of at the moment where I might find a hot pig is a barbecue stand.
Oh, this is no time to be funny.
Well, look, up until now, all the laughs are on me, kid, so let me be the judge, huh?
Well, what are you going to do?
Well, first, I'm going to practice my arithmetic and see what adds up. You can't unload a stolen pig in a pawn shop. So, question number one is, where do you unload it? Where would you go?
Well, where would I... Well, I'd never thought of it.
Well, here's what I figured. The Rollo on the hoof is too well known to peddle for anything like the dough he's really worth. I mean, he's not like a big diamond that you can cut up and lip... Or is he? What is the going price on pork?
The market this morning was at $23.50.
Oh, well, that kind of money hardly sounds like Little Rocky's kind of project. But maybe things are tough. By the way, Alva, have you ever been in Arkansas by any chance?
Why, no. Why'd you ask?
Just wondered.
Hey, Dollar, just a minute. I want to talk to you.
Oh, Barnyard Bloodhound himself. Yeah, Sheriff?
Would you mind, Alvin?
I was just leaving.
How could she be that cold on such a hot night?
Huh?
What's bothering you, Sheriff?
I saw your little performance, Dollar, when you leapt at that truck. Just how hard was you really trying?
How hard was I? Well, I ought to punch you in the nose, badge or no badge.
Now, don't you go getting huffy. I just want you to know that I don't fool easy. When I'm on a case, I'm suspicious of everybody.
Yeah, that must be rough on your wife. How often do you have her in handcuffs?
Huh? Well,
Look, Sheriff, all I need from you is the use of a car so I can go looking for old Lardhead.
Oh, no, you don't. There's enough missing around here as it is. Rollo, Ms. Tiller's jewelry, and I ain't about to add a county vehicle to the mess. And besides, I want to keep an eye on you.
Good. You might learn something. Come on.
Here, wait a minute. Where are you going?
Over to the Ferris wheel. That truck hasn't been off the fairgrounds more than a couple of minutes. I want to get a look at the countryside.
Ferris wheel. Say, that gives me an idea.
I hoped it would. Come on. Say, Sheriff, I don't know very much about this farmside ferreting racket.
Well, there's more to it than meets the eyes, I can tell you that.
Oh, well, I bet there is. Tell me. Didn't I see a feed trough on Rollo's truck with a lot of mash in it?
Well, now, let's see. If he ate yams this afternoon, he'd eat mash tonight, all right.
Does mash kick up any kind of a smell?
Oh, sour swill. But the pig seems to like it.
Uh-huh. How does this sound to you, Sheriff? Suppose right after you take your ride to the top of the Ferris wheel to case the countryside, we were to get ourselves a nice hungry pig.
Say, that gives me an idea. We could take that pig and he could smell that mash in the air and sniff out the trail of that truck.
Sheriff, if you aren't a genius, I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, sure.
It was planting time in Iowa that night, at least for ideas, two of which I had planted in the not-too-fertile mind of Sheriff Harry Blewett. And as long as it took us to walk from the trotting track to the Ferris wheel, it came harvest time for notion number one.
Okay, mister, okay. I'm the sheriff. I want you to run me up to the top of that wheel and hold me there long enough for me to get a look around.
When the wheel came to a stop with Harry Blewett sitting in his little cage at the top, I pulled a low trick on a high sheriff. I bought a pink lemonade from the juice stand next to the Ferris wheel, walked over to the motor that rolled the big heap, unscrewed the cap on the gas tank, and gave it a big, long drink. I hope it wasn't doing to people's stomachs what it did to that motor. You might well remember this harmless little deceit the next time you have occasion to get rid of a sheriff.
This kind of publicity is a little too expensive, Dollar. I demand that you do something.
Now, don't worry, Mr. Tiller. I am going to do something. I'll thank you to remember that the only ones who stand to get hurt right at this point are the insurance companies that wrote the policies on your pig and your wife's diamond brooch.
Why, Worthington, I hadn't thought of that. Huh? Why should we worry? My brooch is insured for way over the value here.
Hortense! You keep flapping that loud tongue of yours. The first thing you know, they'll be accusing us.
Why, they wouldn't dare.
Oh, yes, we would, Mrs. Tiller.
This is just not the time.
A $15,000 profit on a pig and whatever else you could make on your jewelry might make anybody the type, Mrs. Tiller.
Now, see here, Dollar. I've had just about enough of your slanderous implications. I have a few thoughts you might profit by.
Go ahead, Worthington.
I'm always interested in profit, Tiller.
My father had the same thing happen to him back in 1902.
That's right.
Remember, dear?
Yes.
In Nebraska. He bought a prize pig at a fancy price. And then the scoundrel that sold it to him turned around and stole it back. There. See? What do you think of that?
Would this be a suggestion that we throw the young lady who sold your pig to you in the pokey? On the strength of something that happened 37 years ago?
Well,
that's for you to decide, Dollar.
Right.
Just don't say I didn't warn
you. Uh-huh, I see. Yeah. If you don't have an orchid to pin on a young lady, try suspicion. Most of the crowd packed in the grandstand watching the free attractions, I had a good chance to scout the fairground for Alva Anderson, from whom I wanted to learn a little bit more about the habits of not only pigs, but their ex-owners. A trail led me past the home-baked cakes, hybrid corn, the watermelon pickle, tractor and harrow exhibits, and all the way back to where I'd first met her, Rollo's tent in the swine wing of the livestock building. But when I got there, Rollo's cupboard was bare. Alva was leaving for the rear door in the company of a small, tough-looking gent carrying a sack over his shoulder. Name of Little Rocky from Arkansas. I could hardly believe it. They mounted into a car and hauled off up the road. At the risk of adding one last insult to the most recent injury I'd inflicted upon Sheriff Blewett, I stole his car and went dusting up the highway in hot pursuit. There's nothing easier to follow than a red taillight on a clear night. And the bright Mazda Ruby tacked onto the rear of Little Rocky's car led me around the village of Carver and 11 miles out to the pastures to a shack hidden in a grove of elm trees 100 yards off the road. I parked the car and legged it in. It was 25 feet away from the house. I could call the roll through an open window. They were all there. Little Rocky, the strong-armed man who would knock me off the running board, Alva Anderson, and last but not least, it was Rollo, all 980 pounds of them,
and most important to me, still alive.
Here you are, Milo, you stupid clown.
Oh, stop. This is all the sweet potatoes that was left. First we go through them, and then we'll be ready for you, Albert.
Oh, but I told you I don't have it.
We'll see about that later. Hey, Milo, don't get the porker excited.
I didn't
care. Put the sack on the table. Then when we look at him, we throw him out the window and away from him. Now, hurry up.
All right. Well, it ain't in this one. Ain't in this one either. Nope. Ain't in this one.
Shut up. Just look.
Well, I just...
Now, from now on, from you, no thinking. Anybody dumb enough to stash a $30,000 hunk of jewelry and pig food ought to go see a head doctor.
Oh. Through the open window, I was being bombarded by sweet potatoes and facts. While making a getaway after ripping the brooch from Mrs. Tiller's throat, Little Rocky's accomplice had suffered a sudden attack of panic. I'd hidden the brooch in one of Rollo's lunchtime yams. Whether that yam was inside the piggy or out, they and I were apparently just on the verge of learning.
Ain't here.
Then that means...
That means your little friend here had a $30,000 snack today, which right now is giving me a great big bellyache. You know all about pigs. What do we do about it?
Well, Rocky was yelling. He wouldn't rub him out.
Look who's talking. Here, take my 38 if you're so tough. Yeah, I thought so. Now, shut up.
Well, I ain't killing no piggy with him just standing there looking at me. If he'd only make a break for it, I'd mow him down.
Ah, you. Now, look, baby. We'll kill him if we got him. We want that chunk of ice and we want it fast. Milo, tease him into the corner with a sweet potato.
We're throwing them all out the window.
Oh, please, Mr. Rocky,
you
don't.
You shut up, too, and sit down. Close your eyes if you want to.
Oh, please, Mr. Rocky.
In the manner of Sheriff Blewett, I had an idea. Given to me, of course, by Rocky. Albert was sitting in the corner. Rollo was scratching his side by rubbing it against the opposite. And Rocky and Milo were standing shoulder to shoulder in the middle of the room, ready to advance on him. I groped around the dark until I found one of the yams, and taking a sweet potato delicately in my hand, I tossed it through the window so that it would roll to a point just behind Rocky and his pal Milo.
Oh, look out! He's shooting!
Rollo took my bait and, getting to it, knocked his two would-be executioners in a heap on the floor. I took over from there, jumping to the window and applying a kitchen chair beautifully to the mysterious, reducing enemies to a state of unconscious surrender. They gave out, Alba gave up, and Rollo gave me a dirty look. Well, Mr. Tiller, here he is, safe and sound, good as new, fat and sassy.
Well, well, good, good, congratulations.
And not only that, but in him someplace, he not only has a good fighting heart, but also that diamond brooch of your wife's.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, very interesting. Very interesting. Well, I'd better go charter a plane. Rollo is due in Kansas City at noon tomorrow.
Oh, but it might upset him, Mr. Tiller. Rosie Barron of Iowa's never flown before. He might lose weight.
Well, what's the big hurry to get him to Kansas City? Is he booked for a personal appearance?
Oh, no. No, hardly that. He's due to be slaughtered at a special ceremony. All the plans are made. Oh, I wouldn't want to disappoint my boys. They've been looking forward to this.
Uh-oh. How do you like that? Mike's almost murdered. Poor Rollo.
Oh, Johnny.
Come on, let's get out of here, Alba. Gosh, who'd have ever thought I, Johnny Dollar, would ever gotten so attached to a pig? Expense account, item 4, $350. Dinner for Alba and me. A vegetable dinner, by the way. And speaking of that, reminds me, if you find a $30,000 brooch in a pork chop, it'll only mean that the Blue Ribbon Prime Packing Company didn't have much luck when they went looking for it. Expense account, item 5, $20. One new gold-plated badge, which I sent to Sheriff Harry Blewett, appeasement, for having stranded him atop that Ferris wheel, for stealing his car, and for suggesting that he use a hungry pig for a bloodhound. Oh, the porter followed the MASH scent, all right. Next morning, they found Sheriff Blewett searching an old MASH factory, 8 miles the wrong side of town. Item 6, $76.80. Bus and train fare, Carver, Iowa, back to Hartford, Connecticut. Well, I'm still wondering every morning at breakfast time, what else can you eat with eggs? except ham or bacon or sausage. And maybe you don't think that's a problem, having known a certain champion named Rollo, Rosie Baron of Iowa. Expense account total, $1,463. Yours, truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Charles Russell, with script by Paul Dudley and Gil Dowd. Featured in the cast were Parley Bear, Sammy Hill, and John Daner, with Junius Matthews, Ann Morrison, Jack Crucian, and Paul Dubov. Pinto Colvig was Rollo. The special music is written and conducted by Leith Stevens. Be sure to be with us at the same time next week when another most unusual expense account is handed in by
yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Your Hit Parade on Parade will be back tonight in the familiar CBS Jack Benny time with the great tunes of August 12 years ago. Sweet Leilani and Where or When. Many another still green in your memory will be among the hits you will hear. Speaking of hits, put down August 29th this year in your little book. That's when Arthur Godfrey and his talent scout, the stars of Lux Radio Theater, My Friend Irma, and Bob Hawke return to join Inner Sanctum. So make your Monday nights a regular date with CBS. This is Roy Rowan speaking. Stay tuned now for your Hit Parade on Parade. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.